Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and today I'm really thrilled to introduce Dustin. He is the single-handed sailor. How are you?
Hey, aloha. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Where are you located at the moment?
I am in San Andreas, Colombia. I just got here about a week and a half ago, sailed here from Bahamas.
Well, now, the single-handed sailor, there is a lot to this story. Let's go back to you as a kid. Where did you grow up and sort of what were your aspirations going into life?
So growing up, I started in Sacramento, California. I was only there till I was about seven, though, and moved to Portland. And I think like a lot of kids, you know, I grew up watching the space shuttles and always wanted to be an astronaut. And, you know, going through high school and college, you know, I started off kind of thinking that direction, but then I wasn't really interested in doing military, which was the actual path to being an astronaut. So I switched it up to business and started my own businesses and went that road instead.
Well, you were never really into sailing then. This wasn't sort of a big dream of yours. You weren't going to be a pirate. You weren't going to sail the open seas. You had sort of a life path and a life plan, and you were living the American dream, as it were.
Yeah, my only sailing experience prior to sailing around the world was twice on a lake when I was a kid. You know, I went out with my dad at two times and that was it. And then as an adult, I was living in Hawaii and I had a carpet cleaning business and a fishing boat. And yeah, so I'd always go out fishing on weekends with my friends and whatnot. And there wasn't much sailing there on the Big Island either. And I had thought about sailing around the world a couple of times. I think most people at least get it in their head once. And, but it was because I was researching dive trips to the Galapagos Islands and the liveaboards out there were just terribly expensive. So I was like, yeah, for that price, I could buy a sailboat and sail there myself. And ironically, I'm going to be going to the Galapagos Islands pretty soon.
Tell me about the accident. Now, the reason you are the single-handed sailor is because you are a double amputee.
Yeah, so the accident happened in October of 2008. I was on my way home from a restaurant and a drunk driver had swerved across the center lane and hit me head on. And I was on a RC-51 motorcycle. He was in a big Chevy Silverado truck. So he wasn't even injured, but the wheel came off his truck. And then my arm flew off. It flew from about 50 feet from the scene of the accident. And they ended up amputating my foot the next day. But there was a solid 48 hours where my life was in question as well. So it was a really horrific accident. I had a punctured spleen, a punctured lung, four broken ribs, a broken scapula. I aspirated, I vomited into my lungs, and my stomach came through. My diaphragm was up in my chest cavity. And when I was in the hospital, like before they put me in for surgery, they did a CT scan and, you know, nothing was visible, because I had so much internal bleeding. And so they ended up giving me a choice on whether or not to even go in for surgery, because they knew I'd aspirated and they said that's a 50-50 survival by itself. But they said, you know, with the condition I was in, it's unlikely I'd survive the anesthesia or the surgery. And they asked if I wanted to stay up with my friends. I had a bunch of friends in the hospital at that time. So by the time I had gotten to that point, there was maybe five or six people that were in the hospital with me. But I told them, I was like, no, I'm gonna live. So, you know, go ahead and put me under, I'll be fine.
So when you came out of surgery, and of course you were a double amputee, how did this affect your view and your plans and your dreams and your goals? Because of course, everything that your entire life completely changed overnight after that one accident. How did you approach the future then?
This was a long path. When I woke up in the hospital, you know, I was intubated, so I couldn't even, you know, speak. And, you know, my girlfriend at the time was there. And so, you know, they give you this little cue card where you have things, you're like, I have to go to the bathroom, whatever, or you could type things out. And so, you know, I typed out my arm, my leg, because I couldn't see it, you know, because I, you know, they had the thing around my neck and I was, you know, pretty much tied to the bed. And you know, it's weird when you have something amputated, you still feel it if it's there, so I still feel my arm, I still feel my foot. And they call it phantom limb pain, you know, and it usually hurts in some way or another, but so I still felt my arm and foot, even though they weren't there. So I had to ask, you know, whether they were there or not. But at that time, you know, I owned the carpet cleaning business, so I figured I could still do that remotely and, you know, just try to focus on the sales aspect or whatnot. But it didn't end up working out. I had a business partner that didn't work out. And so for about 3 years, I had to go through the financial devastation of it. I had to go bankrupt. My own health insurance company sued me for $440,000. I didn't pay my taxes that year because, you know, I used all my tax money for living expenses because my income dropped considerably. And so I ended up with this $80,000 IRS lien. And so it was about 3 years of going through the financial aspect, trying to recoup, you know, recover, like be able to walk again. And then, you know, try to pay off that IRS tax debt. And so I did an offer and compromise with the IRS and ended up paying them $20,000. And then I, you know, did a bankruptcy for everything else. And so after that 3 years, I started getting stronger and trying to decide what to do with my life. And my businesses, my carpet cleaning business and my fishing boat were both in shambles. They, you know, the equipment was old. It was 3 years out of maintenance. And, you know, the carpet cleaning van needed to be replaced, you know, at the time of the accident. You know, I was planning on replacing it the following year. But by this time, you know, I hadn't really ran in 3 years. So it just wasn't working well at all. And so I tried to go back to work, but I was so far behind. I had no cash and I had no credit since I just went bankrupt. And there was just no way for me to reinvest back into the businesses. And I was just looking, I was like, I have this horrible timeline of getting back to like some sort of, you know, financial independence. And so I started just looking for anything else. I started looking at other jobs, and randomly I came across a website of people who had set records sailing around the world alone. And it was called the slocumsociety.com. And I was like, hey, there's no double amputee on that list. I'm just going to do that. And so I sold the business and the fishing boat, and for about $12,000, I bought a $12,000 sailboat. And I watched YouTube videos on how to sail, read some books, and took off.
So it was that simple. I'm just going to watch some YouTube videos and I'm going to jump on board my sailing boat and conquer the world.
Yeah. I mean, I did a 1 month trip with my roommate, Brandon. So we sailed around the Hawaiian Islands for 1 month. And so I got to, you know, do some practical application of what I learned off of YouTube and had somebody on board that was there to help. And it, so after that month trip around Hawaii, I had a little bit of confidence to do the next jump, but the first time I'd ever sailed by myself was leaving Hawaii. So my very first solo sailing trip was a 1,000-mile trip from Hawaii to Palmyra.
Wow. And what do you find the challenges are then for you sailing a solo?
Oh, gosh. You know, everything's a bit of a challenge. Doing things with one hand, you know, takes longer. I mean, a lot of times, you know, something just simple, like even where my oil filter is located, like if I had a left hand, it'd be really easy to get to, but instead I pretty much have to stand on my head and go like this and, you know, trying to get to the oil filter. And so there's a lot of things that, you know, you put a little bit more thought into, and, you know, I always pretty much figure it out. But I mean, even my furling line from my head sail broke on this last trip, you know, getting up on the bow of the boat with the sail flapping around and trying to wrap another furling line on it to pull the sail in. It was, you know, stuff like that's just difficult with one hand. But usually when the boat's sailing correctly and, you know, nothing's going wrong, it's pretty easy now.
So what is this determination to sail around the world? What is it about sailing that gave you that sense of I'm going to accomplish this and this is what I need to do at this stage?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I think because of my financial situation, I was able to kind of start something new in my life. And so I was able to make that big transition because I wasn't really, you know, I was pretty much at dead zero financially. I think sailing was something random. It's almost like something I picked out of a hat. And I like the idea of the freedom, and, you know, I have a modest disability income. You know, it's about $1,000 a month that I live off of. And that's not enough money to live in Hawaii, where I was living at the time. But I figured it is enough money to live in Fiji and Vanuatu, you know, Southeast Asia, and being on the sailboat would be rent free. And so it made a little bit of financial sense. And then it was just something big as well. Like, it's something no one had ever done before. So it's like, okay, I have an opportunity to do something big. It kind of fits within my budget. And I didn't realize it actually didn't fit within my budget. So, you know, the boat expenses do cost more than $1,000 a month, I found out. But but at the time I was like, oh yeah, this will be, you know, this will be easy. I got plenty of money.
So how far have you gotten so far in circumnavigating the world?
I am almost done. I've done about 30,000 miles solo, about 35 countries. And so I've taken the scenic route a bit as well. I'm only about 200 miles from Panama now. And once I get through the canal, you know, my maximum about a 1 month away from Hawaii. I'm planning on taking a bit longer. So I want to do the Panama Canal, Galapagos Islands, maybe Easter Island, Polynesia, and then back to Hawaii. And so some of that will depend on COVID and what's open and what's not. So I want to be back in Hawaii by December, but I mean, I could be there in a month, you know, if I really wanted to. So, you know, I've been sailing, I left Hawaii about 6.5 years ago. So wow. It's crazy to be like about 1 month away from home now.
So now that you've almost accomplished that goal, what's next?
Yeah, I don't know. That's, I'm gonna have to come up with a new plan in my life. I would like to do, I've talked to a few people about working on other boats. I'd like to do some sort of environmental project or, you know, just something that's interesting to me. It'd be nice to give back a little bit too, because for the last, you know, 3 years since I started the crowdfunding, you know, I've had a lot of people donate to my trip and, you know, keep me going. And so I'd like to find a way to give back to another project.
That's amazing. We're going to make sure to provide all of that information below this interview when it airs, because of course you still haven't reached Hawaii yet. And, you know, depending, it could be next month. It could be December when you do actually reach the end. What kind of, do you get like, I don't know, a world records book or, you know, what do you get as far as accolades when you finish this?
That is a good question. I did reach out to Guinness, but it's actually quite expensive to get in the Guinness Book World Records, and especially for something like this, because they would have to send out like somebody to like officiate and make sure that I leave and arrive by myself at each location. There are plenty of other sailors that were sailing kind of on a similar timeline as me that would verify that, you know, I've done all these trips by myself. So I think if I go to them afterwards and say, hey, you know, here's like list of people you could talk to and they'll verify and whatnot, I think there's a chance that I'll get into it. And you know, there's some of the sailing magazines have followed me. So, you know, there's some verification there, but yeah, I don't know. It's not really that important to me, to be honest. That, you know I did it. So if, you know, someone's going to question it, I don't really care.
Nice. Well, you know what? It's a very inspiring story, because at the end of the day, you know, I mean, pretty much everything was tits up, wasn't it? And you just jumped on board your sailboat and said, let's make her do it. And 6.5 years later, here you are, you know, with a smile on your face and almost finished your goal.
Yeah, it's gone remarkably well. Like, I wasn't really sure what to expect when I left. I knew nothing about the sailing community. I'd never really been to a yacht club or anything like that. So it's just something that was never on my radar. And then, you know, 6 years later, I'm pretty close in the sailing community. Yacht clubs are all like my second home now. And so it's something that, you know, it's opened up this door to a new lifestyle that I really didn't even know existed.
Well, it is a very tight community, guaranteed. But you know what, Dustin, I really do wish you the best of luck. And please let us know what your next steps are. And by all means, you know, we'd love to keep in touch and let people know, you know, whether it's next month or December when you actually get to Hawaii and what your great big adventure is next, because I'm sure after this, you're not going to be happy just sitting around doing not much of anything.
No, definitely not. Well, I still have the boat. So if nothing else presents an opportunity for me once I'm in Hawaii, I can always just pull anchor and go somewhere else.
Once again, thank you, Dustin. We really appreciate it. This is the Single-Handed Sailor. We're going to make sure to provide all of his information. I would advise to go and check out his story on his website, and as well, if you can, do a little bit of supporting in his journey, because it's well worth it and it's pretty interesting. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. Please tune in again for another episode.